But it's wonderful to be with you this morning. And just those verses have really spoken to me over the last few weeks. We were, should I wait, guys, or should I carry on? Carry on, okay. We've been meeting with some of the young adults just on Sunday mornings, and it was the other week we were sat in the dining room talking about and trying to understand suffering. It's a big question, and you'll be asked that question by people that don't believe. How can you believe in a God that allows suffering? And we just talked about suffering, and we brought out different scriptures and tried to kind of work out the roots of it and where it first, how it came about. But we all acknowledge that we will all go through suffering. And amazingly, it was just one of the comments from one of the guys who said that Jesus wept. And in particular, he wept over his friend Lazarus. And it really caught us. It really caught me. And I've just been reading and reading ever since on this incredible story. Thank you, Chan, for reading those verses. You wouldn't believe how many times I've read through them. And when you keep reading through a passage, just new little things come up. And just can we just start this one verse that has just really caught me. When you read this passage and you look at the words in red, if you've got a Bible with your words in red, it's the Lord's words. Oh, keep reading them, because the first time he kind of comes in, it's verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Can I just say this morning that in suffering, in hardships, oh, the Lord has this long process that he will be glorified in it. He really does. And this whole passage was a lesson to the disciples, to Mary and Martha, to the Jews that we'll talk about later on. It was that he, the Father, would be glorified. Incredible truth. If you have that in your mind and dealing with suffering, and that we all suffer, and it mustn't go down the route of comparison because it's different for different people. But if we hold in our hearts the process of that the Lord will be glorified in it, oh, it's wonderful. What a sufficiency from him. Let's just go down. It's a story where I do read it and I start smiling at certain bits of people's reactions to the Lord Jesus, including the disciples, Thomas, and how they actually kind of try and understand what the Lord is doing in this process and the Father. Let's just go down and pick it up. Jesus talks about in verse 9 about there's many hours in the day, about working, and then it goes down to verse 14 that Chan had read earlier on. Jesus had to plainly say to the disciples that Lazarus was dead. I think they thought he was having a rest, and you can just imagine the little conversations that they would have had with themselves. "Lord, we can't go back to that place. You'll get stoned. We've just come from that place. It's why?" And you can just see that the Lord, just that first time that he said to the disciples, he said to them, "No, we'll wait here for 2 days. We'll wait here for 2 days." When he was requested, "Would you come and save Lazarus?" He said, "No, I'm going to wait here for 2 days." It was in those 2 days I was thinking, wow, and that is, in that 2 days, there was an incredible transaction with the Father and the Son. There really was. Because in those 2 days, if you think about the people I've already mentioned, Mary, Martha, the Jews, the disciples, in those 2 days, they were everywhere. They were just kind of thinking, what is going on here? "Lord," Thomas says, "Lord, oh, look, if we're going to go down, I'll die with you." Then you got the other disciples, "Lord, we can't go down there, you'll get stoned." Mary and Martha were there kind of thinking, "Oh, if you'd been here, you could have saved Jesus." And I've just been so amazed that in those 2 days, I think there was just wonderful, wonderful harmony between the Father and the Son. And there would have just been those prayers that would have just been going on. He is dead, but no, he will be alive again. And I think that's just a wonderful thing, that in the process of hardships and suffering, the Lord is underpinning it. He's wonderfully there. Verse 17. It's already been mentioned this morning about the Lord being the resurrection and the life, and we've actually just remembered that, haven't we, together.
So verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort her concerning their brother. And it's this verse that comes up here that's just in verse 25, Jesus answers Martha. Martha was saying to the Lord Jesus, I know that my brother will rise again. It will be when you return. And I think she got a little bit mixed up there. And I would do as I would be saying, yeah, I know the Lord's coming back again. But the Lord Jesus says this, and it's a verse that I can remember liking a pop band when I was in the late 80s, early 90s, called the Stone Roses. And they had an album out, and it was called I Am the Resurrection. And if you read the words to it, it will break your heart. It's totally, it was when I was not in a good place, but in some ways it was people you can see grappling with this thing of I am the resurrection and the life. But here is the actual truth. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's a question I believe everyone will have to answer. Do you believe this? I've been grappling with this thought of believing. What does it mean for you and I to believe? I can believe about things, and it doesn't particularly have an impact on my life. Last year, this is probably not a great analogy at all, but I really believed last year that Liverpool were going to win the league. But I did not base my life upon that fact of believing. They did go on and win the league, by the way. But I didn't base all of my beliefs and my actions and how I was going to act and be with people on that. Jesus asked us if we believe, and I looked up, I was trying to work out, well, what are these things about believing? Childlike faith and believing. And I read this person, he described it like this. He said there's a word called credence, which is this thing of actually just believing about something. I've got work colleagues that believe about God, okay, and I have conversations with them, and it gets to a certain stage. I can't go any further. They have credence about God. I would about other figures that are in the past. I have a level and that's it, but it doesn't affect then my life and my actions and what I say and how I live. Then after credence comes confidence, or you could say trust. It goes further. Okay, you believe about something and you have credence about, and the object we're talking about today is Jesus. You have credence about the Lord Jesus. Then it goes into confidence. This means your life starts changing. You start being in a community of other believers. You start thinking about people that don't believe and you want their eyes to be opened. Then after confidence, there's this third one, which is continuance. And this is the thing where you have credence, you believe about the Lord Jesus. Then you have confidence, things start changing, your life starts changing direction. Then you have continuance, which is this thing of an ongoing believing. An ongoing kind of sacrificial, I put my life in your hands, Lord. Each day, breathe in me again. My issue is that I sometimes think that we get stuck on credence. Do you know where I'm coming from? Sometimes we get stuck in that place, and I think when I read John, this miracle or sign was his last one, and it was almost the pre kind of his own death and resurrection. He would have had those thoughts in his mind when he's actually dealing with Lazarus's death. I wonder why those tears that he wept weren't just on a natural level of loss. I think there was something more in those tears, something much more deeper. I think he was weeping about how sin has a massive impact on lives, bringing death. Massive thing. Not always talked about from up on these places much anymore. Sin has a wickedness about it that comes to death. That's why the Lord Jesus wants not just a credence about him. He wants a confidence, a new confidence. And this actual, I was reading John, and actually the way he speaks and the language he uses, it's actually like a present tense, but also it's a kind of continuous tense. So he's actually describing, he's not actually just talking to people that maybe aren't believing, although he did because the Jews didn't believe and then they did, some of them. He's actually talking to some people that have believed and then they've got stuck a bit. Who's got stuck before a little bit? Hit a bit of a dry spell when the well feels a bit dry. You don't need to raise your hands this morning, but have you? Sometimes in your walk with the Lord, it comes to a dry place. This is a wonderful story to me. It's just a reminder that the Lord, he brings resurrection life and it's abundant. And you, if you're this morning, if you're listening in or you're here, if you're in that dry place, you can come to the Lord Jesus. You can move from that place of credence. You can come again and have confidence in our Lord Jesus. And then you can have that wonderful, just that flow of a continuance of the Lord Jesus' life. I haven't looked at any of my notes that I spent so long. Don't puzzle about the Lord Jesus' delay. He had 2 days when he just waited. And that was so the Lord would be glorified. Don't puzzle in the times when you're not sure what's happening. You're a bit dry. You're not sure what's ahead. Don't puzzle. The Lord is in full control. Why? Because His glory will be seen. Don't rush in for his glory. It's his. Mary and Martha often, when they describe Lazarus to the Lord Jesus, they use this word. I find it so interesting. Filio, which is this love. But it's this love that actually is just almost like a friendship, like even a brotherly love. It's kind of more of a feeling. And they use that describing Lazarus to the Lord Jesus. Every time you read the Lord Jesus, when he uses the word love in this, he uses the agape love. It's a deep love. It's a sacrificial love, unconditional. And then when he says that about Lazarus and Mary and Martha, oh, it's even deeper. And that is for you and I this morning. He has an incredible agape love waiting. Maybe those in your family that don't yet know the Lord Jesus, the Lord is waiting, wonderfully patient in those 2 days, and he brings resurrection and life. The title that's not even said this morning, but is this: you don't have to wait until the end. Dave mentioned about the thief on the cross. I feel more energized these days. Oh Lord, would you do something to people now? Would you, Lord? Don't wait until the end. Jesus wept. His tears weren't just for sufferings of humans, but it was about sin and death. And then it goes on. Let's just carry on. If you get time this afternoon, just have a read through the whole thing. It's just like about 40, 50. Oh, every time I keep reading over it, something new of the Lord just comes out. It's wonderful. It really is. Like Lazarus, what does his name mean? Whom God helps. Man, did God help Lazarus, didn't he? He's got an apt meaning there, isn't he? Whom God helps. Wonderful. So Mary and Martha, Mary, she stays in the house mourning. It was customary that the person with loss would stay in the house, but then she hears that Jesus is near. She rushes out the house. She leaves all custom behind. And then I can just see this little trail of the Jews running behind, trying to catch up to her, you know. I want to see what the Lord's going to do here. They probably have questioning kind of hearts, you know. What's he going to do this time, you know? And then they get to the place where they meet Jesus. Jesus says, where have you laid him? And it goes on. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Remember that word love there is the agape love. It's deep, sacrificial, unconditional. not just a brother, not just on feeling, but something much, much more. How the Lord is with that, with mankind. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? I can't believe the question of that kind of, where does that spirit come from? They're almost testing again the Lord Jesus, aren't they? Trying to find some sort of fault. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, this is almost a mixture of kind of a little bit of anger. All the Lord Jesus wanted for the disciples, for the Jews, for Mary and Martha was to fully believe in him and have trust. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, this is so interesting, this here. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you are always near me, that you always hear me, sorry. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. I find that incredible. That the Lord Jesus uttered words that those nearby would just catch a little bit of a hearing of the wonderful resurrection life. I've always kind of in some ways been brought up to pray just that kind of vertically. Don't do the old horizontal, you know, where you do the posh words and you maybe do a little like this or the little spiritual kind of, you know, or any kind of the flowery language. No. But in some ways, this is incredible. Jesus speaking to the Father, that actually those who are listening in could overhear and be caught up. That's amazing. As I keep reading this, I keep thinking the Lord is so after those that have blockages. So the disciples, they had some blockages. They had some doubts. Mary and Martha, there were still some little blockages there. The Jews, they were listening in. And there were some blockages, but wait until you see this. This is incredible. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grey clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. That's an incredible thing in some ways. How do you apply that to our lives now? How do you apply that to yourself? Well, the Lord is resurrection and life. And he has done that through the cross for one another, for all mankind. And one thing I really realized about reading this was I was waiting for some kind of almost response from Lazarus, that he comes out and he leaps out and the clothes are kind of, and then he does leaping and praising, and it wasn't. Don't you find that interesting? I think that if there was, it would have taken away possibly from the wonderful glory of God. It just ends. He shuffles out, I think. He said he was still bound. He would have just shuffled out. People looking on. I just find it wonderful that in some ways as I read this, I still think it's about the Father's glory. The loss of that person. A friend, a dear friend of Jesus. It still gets us as we read it, that we still keep looking at the Father. It's about his glory and his power. And then it skips on. I got really excited here because I realised that the story doesn't finish there. After this, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen the things Jesus did believed in him. That's amazing, isn't it? This miracle, I think it's the seventh one that John writes about Lord Jesus' seventh miracle. I think it's actually a key miracle actually to where then some real hostility came in. Honestly, when you read after this, there was some real hostility. That seventh miracle. And the chief priests then started to devise and saying that this man must die. But what really hit me was that there were some Jews that saw and they believed. And I don't think it was just the credence belief. I've seen this man. Yeah, he's good. It's not going to affect anything in my life. So I'm going to carry on doing the things I do.
I think there would have been some that have crossed into the confidence. I'm actually going to start working for the Lord. And then I think there could have been some that would have gone into a continuance. Each day is the Lord's day. I will live it simply trusting in you. And then it goes on, and I'd forgotten about this bit. Chapter 12, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead. Can you imagine that? Wonder what they would have talked about. How are you feeling now, Lazarus? There would have been normal conversations, by the way, okay? There are things that were said in between these words here. There would have been the very kind of normal. I don't think Lazarus was an old man, by the way. I know he was a poor man. Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Oh, sorry, but I start kind of getting that leaping thing of from someone that was so ill. A poor man, so ill, so far away from Jesus, geographically in a way. And then the Lord comes in, breathes new life into him, sets him on his way. And then after that, some days pass, and then he's actually sat at the table with Jesus. He's supping with him. Isn't that wonderful? He's at the table, and it just really stirs me to say, Lord, I want to continue just in a very simple, loving way of just following you, Lord Jesus. This is a quote that I was saying to the young adults. I don't know where it's come from, but it says this: suffering is used by God to draw us to Christ. It says God whispers to us in our pleasure, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I'll say it again. There's three things there, okay? There's the whispering, the speaking, and a shouting. God whispers to us in our pleasure. And believe me, the pleasures of this world now have so increased that it's very hard for people to hear. He whispers to us in our pleasure. He speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And my prayer at the moment is, and I know that we all have different things that we go through, but there is opportunity. And my biggest thing is that the hearts would yearn for the Lord Jesus. Those ones that I rub shoulders with day to day. Those that incredibly at the moment, huge amounts that have mental illnesses that have been exaggerated and brought into the real opening of what's happening. Lord, come into those people, Lord. Don't be concerned about the 2 days. You know, the times when you think, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing, Lord? We're struggling here, Lord. We need to rush around and get things. We need to get some systems going. How do we do church now? It's in the 2 days when you think, Lord, you're in full control. He's sovereign. He reigns. He was thinking of the Jews at that time who didn't believe. He was thinking about Mary and Martha, the loss of their brother, that they needed to keep on believing. He was thinking about the disciples, and they were kind of grappling with things and wanting to rush in and, yeah, I'll die with you, Lord Jesus, there. Maybe this morning, maybe there's people listening on the Zoom where you've just come to that place where you've believed in the past and then it's gone dry. Maybe it hasn't worked out how you thought it was going to work out. This morning, you can come back to the wonderful resurrection life of the Lord Jesus, and he will actually come into your life again. Wonderful. As I said earlier on, when John was writing this, in some ways it was The whole thing was playing out to those that he would disciple more and more, deeper and deeper. And we can listen and read it now, and it's so applicable to us now. Get to those places where it's just a bit, you're squeezed, you're not sure what's ahead. You just want to encourage you that you can actually, even today, come to that place and get that wonderful life of the Lord Jesus coming to the end. It's an incredible story. Just thinking about the meaning of Lazarus, whom God helps. If there's anyone this morning, maybe feels that there isn't that help that's there, I just want to encourage you to call upon the Lord Jesus. It's what the Lord wanted from those that were following him, just to keep calling on him, keep following in him. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you that you've reminded us this morning that, Lord, there's such a deeper love from you, this agape love, Lord, that's so powerful, so sacrificial. We've remembered it this morning, your wonderful work on the cross. And Lord, that we actually are proclaiming that you are coming back again, Lord Jesus. Lord, not just based upon feelings, although they are important, Lord Jesus, and we're made with them, Lord. But we thank you that you came and you gave resurrection, Lord, life, eternal life, Lord Jesus. Lord, in the meantime, those 2 days were not sure what was going on. We know, Lord, that you were doing the Father's will. And all through this wonderful story, Lord Jesus, and after, Lord, you wanted just to sup at the table, Lord Jesus, with Lazarus there. Thank you that you continue with us, Lord. You never give up on us, Lord. We're slow to do things, slow to say things. Lord, you're always constant. Lord, we don't just want to believe about you this morning, say the right words, maybe attend church and that's it. Lord, we want, Lord, that confidence. Place, Lord, our lives in your hands, Lord, and we want that continuance, Lord. Each day you will fill us with your wonderful Holy Spirit, the wonderful helper and comforter. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all the different groups that are represented here this morning, Lord, the children that are out there now. Lord, breathe upon them, Lord, we pray. Lord, the young adults, those that are at home, Lord, on their own, they would know that there is a wonderful Saviour, resurrection, Lord, and life. Precious Lord, we love you. Amen.